Like, get out of my face. He's either going to play for the Minnesota Vikings or he's not going to play at all. I mean, that's something that management had to tell him. Look, we're just not going to let him go anywhere.
It's been rumored and it's been leaked out by the organization that that's basically been the case, but nobody's ever really said it on a live microphone in front of everybody.
Until Zimmer.
Which is why I love Mike Zimmer for just letting it rip today. It's fantastic.
And it's all of a sudden, I guess it's not that Spielberg couldn't still make a deal. But right now, the way where he stands right now is that we're not going to trade him anywhere, period. He's going to have to play for us. We have a great running back in Adrian Peterson that makes us a very good offense.
They'd rather have Adrian Peterson not play for anybody. They'd rather have him play here or not play for anybody.
Right. But it would take a blockbuster trade with an AFC bottom-of-the-barrel team. Jacksonville, Oakland, Cleveland. I mean, give him away to the other side of this conference, and certainly away from our division.
Let's trade him to Tennessee.
And it's not that they still wouldn't do it, but right now, I mean, Spielberg, he's writing the script to this new movie, and it's called 2015 Minnesota Vikings, starring Adrian Peterson, and no one else gets to have that running back. He's a great running back if he's anything even close to what he normally is.
Have you ever seen anything like this before? Obviously, there have been holdouts. There have been the Deshaun Jackson deal in Philadelphia. There have been other holdouts where...
Those are easy.
Was it a Plaxico Burris holdout or somebody held out for most... I mean, some wide receivers hold out until they absolutely have to get credit for that, you know, regular season year or whatever it is, and they come back in week 10 or 11 or whatever it is.
Brett Favre retirement and kind of come back out of it. And
but that's I mean, Brett Favre
didn't have
angst against his team. It wasn't, you know, I mean, when he was threatening to retire or actually retiring, he thought he didn't have any football left in him. He's that old. Your next step, you're supposed to retire. The Green Bay Packers have this Aaron Rodgers kid. You can go now.
Yeah.
It wasn't like he hated the Packers or he thought that they treated him poorly, so he was going to hold something against him.
Well, he parted ways with the Packers, I think, on a bad note.
Oh, at the end, because they said,
we're not going to take you back. He wanted to come out of retirement and rejoin the team.
Yeah.
Still thought he had some football. Of course,
best
obviously.
Year of his career with the Minnesota Vikings.
And he did so, and they said, no, we've made our decision, and they stood tall and supported their player and their decision. They lived with their decision to go with Aaron Rodgers. Great decision. Mm. And then, of course, he tried to play the Darryl Bevel, was it Bevel? That he tried to come back with? But they forced him to go to the Jets.
Mm. They traded him to the Jets, didn't they?
They traded him to the Jets, didn't they?
Yeah.
That's what it was. And then he played 1 year with the Jets, got out of that one, and then came to the Vikings and swung around and had to go another year to get back at the Packers, and he did win both games quite nicely against Aaron Rodgers.
A lot of people are asking via Twitter and calling up, too, saying, if AP retires, does he get out of his contract if he decides to come back and play? And the deal is, Adrian Peterson is under contract for the Minnesota Vikings for 3 more years. Mm. He'll have to sit out 3 years. The Vikings own his rights, and I can't remember how it works out with, if he doesn't play at all this year, then I think that the third year of his contract, it doesn't even count.
The second one doesn't either. This year.
He would still have 3 years on his contract, would he not, if he doesn't play a single down, doesn't show up for anything this year, that doesn't count
His rights for 3 years, no matter what he does. He's going to have to sit for 3 years. If he doesn't pick up his helmet and strap it on, they can tell him to sit for 3 years, and there probably is no coming back after 3 years. That's hiatus.
There's
I mean, that's a running back at the 30s. In his 30s, he's better off trying to pick up the pieces and continue here with the team he started with and trying to go wire to wire as a Viking football player. Maybe chase down that record. Who knows? But his best chance, his best opportunity still is right here with the Vikings. I still think it's his best move rather than having to go somewhere else to play, and God knows what else is out there waiting on him. He knows what's here. He at least knows, and there are no surprises. It's all on the table here. I don't know. I mean, if he goes to the Dallas Cowboys...
He's not going to the Dallas Cowboys.
That's the best case scenario, okay? If he went to the Dallas Cowboys, his home state, where he talked with Jerry Jones, wanted to play for the Cowboys, blah, blah, blah. There's no guarantee. There's no guarantee, even with the Dallas Cowboys. And with that situation down there, that he's going to flourish in that environment. No guarantee. There's a lot going on with Romo.
It's a madhouse down there.
And Witten and Jerry Jones and
Greg
that
Hardy.
Whole thing. There's a lot going on in Dallas, and there's no way in hell that we would give a player like that to them for a ton of trades. Just wouldn't do it.
Dez Bryant, you said yesterday. Dez Bryant and a first-round draft pick.
Yeah.
Jerry Jones said he'd be willing to trade a 2016 first-round draft pick if there's one player. If they're missing one player, obviously they're talking about Adrian Peterson. One first-round draft pick next year just doesn't cut it.
It would take a hell of a player and a first-rounder.
And Dez Bryant and a first-rounder do it for you?
Yeah, but the thing, well, for me, I think it probably would. That dismantles Dallas. I mean, that just undoes Dallas.
They still have Terrence Williams. They still have Witten. They still have that great offensive line.
I love Witten. The offensive line is good. I think a lot of people made more out of their offensive line. Love their left tackle. Love Martin. The rest of it, okay. They're good, but they're not like a big...
Williams was pretty good last year.
Well...
He was a rookie, I think.
He was a rookie. But it's nothing like a great offensive line. I mean, they had the great offensive lines with Tournay, Newton, Stepnoski, Larry Allen, Eric Williams. That was an offensive line. That was a dominant offensive line. They've got a couple nice players on that team. A lot of NFL teams have a couple good, really good players up front. So I don't know. You can say what you want to about Peterson being flourishing down there and just going ballistic. I don't know about that. Regardless, he's not going to. And they have his rights for 3 years, and he's going to have to sit. If he doesn't want to play, he's going to have to sit for 3 years, and that's going to be it. That's going to be it. Try out for the Olympics.
No ifs, ands, or buts about it, buddy.
Yeah. I mean, that's where it goes.
Obviously, he's known you're either playing for the Vikings or you're being retired, or you're going to retire. And I would think that that's what the front office is telling him. We're not going to trade you. That's what that means. You're going to play here. Or you're not going to play anywhere. But for it to come out in public today, I wonder what his reaction was. I would have loved to have heard that. And what's going on behind the scenes with Ben Dagra trying to get more money, more guaranteed money for Adrian Peterson with Dick Springsteen and the rest of the front office down at Winter Park? What's going on in those conversations? Because they're talking all the time.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm sure it's every day.
Every day. Ben Dagra calls Rick Springsteen and says, we need more guaranteed money. Dick says no. Next day. We're going to need more guaranteed money. No.
No.
I mean, you have no leverage.
Your client is going to have to play for us, period. It's going to come a day, Ben Dagra, where we're going to start pulling money off that 12.75. Tell your client he either takes it in its maximum full form and makes this year's contract in full, or it's going to start dwindling. And I'm telling you what, it ain't going to be 12.75, whatever it is. It's going to be down to 9, then 8, and he's going to watch all that money just pour out of the glass. He's going to have to just sit there and watch it pour out.
So what happens if, and I know we have to go to get to Jim Rich from Fox 9, who was also at Vikings OTAs today. What happens if he sits out to like week 10, still gets the credit for playing that season, and then we're in this all over again next year? God, it's never going to end.
There's no way. I know that we have to bring up every scenario that we possibly can to weigh into this and to talk about this. But there's no way that guy is going to sit himself down for 10 games and not be in pads and not chasing down some real numbers. That's who he is. Jim Rich, that's who he is. He's from Fox 9, and he joins us at 5:15 every single day, sometimes late, what do they say?
Better late than never.
And that's what he normally does. He shows up eventually. He's a busy man. He's on TV, and we're glad to have him. We're lucky to have him. Jim Rich is up next.
Do you live for hunting and fishing? Tune in to Ticket Outdoors with Brian Zeff.
I was talking to my buddy Scott Merwin, who runs Lake Osakis Guide Business, and I was actually with Scott and his wife Kristen, who runs a large women's fishing organization. She's actually the president.
For large women?
Yeah. All fat ladies. They have to fish on pontoons.
Ticket Outdoors, presented by Dan's Southside Marine. 2 hours every Wednesday at 7 on 105 The Ticket. Back to Radioactive Sports. The superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
I'm not worried.
Woo-hoo!
what we have here are a lot of people are just not worried or concerned.
I thought you were going to say what we have here is a failure to communicate.
And I think because of that, we have a failure to communicate. We'll ask Jim Rich.
Well, hold on a second.
I don't know what it's like to play or be on the field at the same time as Adrian because I wasn't the starter. I wasn't in the starting role then. So, you know, I can't even speak on what it's like to play with him. But, you know, I know that the guys around here, they have nothing but great things to say about him. We're going to accept Adrian with welcoming arms. You know, we know what he means to this team. You know, he's done some great things in the community here. He's done some great things for this franchise and this organization. So we can't wait to have him.
This franchise is Teddy's.
What a kid Bridgewater is. I mean, that's how you want your quarterback.
He's grown into a man. The guy is thick.
Has he really?
Yeah, I saw him today in his press conference. He is. Okay. He's getting thick.
Okay.
He was scrawny last year.
Marcus must be working with him. My guy down there. Good strength coach. Really good. Teddy speaking like a franchise quarterback. I think he's great. Gosh, that's the best thing we've found in the last couple of years. Outside of Jim Rich. We've had him for about 2 years now as well. Jim, are you there? Apparently not. Jim Rich is not there.
So what about this? Because we were talking about Teddy Bridgewater, his leadership ability. Listen to this and tell me your thoughts on what he said, what his teammates are doing in OTAs.
The guys are now, you know, kind of pushing you into that leadership role. You know, guys are, you know, I'm a young guy still on the team, but guys are pushing me forward, you know, to say something in the huddle or break the team down and break the offense down. And that just gives you that confidence in yourself, confidence in your leadership. And I've been extremely comfortable doing that so far.
I can hear it in his voice. Can't you? When he says he's comfortable with his position, his leadership role here,
yeah,
is that he's very capable and willing to accept that sort of responsibility. Pile it on my shoulders, jump on, I'll break the offense. I'll stand in here and reprimand someone in the huddle if it's not right. He's accepting this role, and that's a big deal. I mean, some guys can't figure that out, how to push their way into. They don't think they don't think the veterans want that, but you have, like Russell Wilson, another perfect example of a guy ahead of his time. You can see it in their eyes. They talk beyond their years. They're old souls already. They're mature beyond their age by a long shot. Russell Wilson for sure. This guy, Ted Bridgewater.
Ted
will step in the huddle someday soon. Someday soon and be able to say anything in a whisper, and you could hear a pin drop in the huddle, because that's what you give to a quarterback who you believe in.
What's it like to play and be in a huddle when your quarterback, who is supposed to be the leader of the offense, the guy calling the plays, and you know, I mean, you think of Tom Brady, you think of the franchise quarterbacks, you think of the faces of the franchise, which Teddy's growing into, but what's it like to be in a huddle with a quarterback that isn't commanding the respect? And I know Teddy Bridgewater commanded respect with his play necessarily and kind of his meek demeanor and not wanting to step on anybody's toes, but yeah, that had to be weird last year.
I think it probably was. I mean, Castle won the job. He was very, very humble, Teddy was, in the way he accepted his backup role. And that, at that point, won a lot of respect over with the veterans. Then when he was forced into action because of the Castle injury, Teddy was able to go in. And they already were in love with the kid because of the way he handled himself when he got here and with Matt Castle and the way he continued to be with Castle. And when Castle was injured on the bench and working with Christian Ponder Christian Ponder of radio, Norv Turner's son, working with him on the bench, those players helped him. They tried to, with the ones that were healthy on the offensive line, they tried to rally for the kid. They knew that he was in a meat grinder, which he was. I mean, you can't play quarterback first year in this league and do as well as Teddy Bridgewater did without your starters, without Adrian Peterson, but without a lot of your offensive line, too. They all went down. Kyle Rudolph, too. And he mustered up a 7-9 season, and he didn't start all the games. He was injured one or two games. Ponder had to play a couple.
Oh, God,
one or two, I think.
Disaster one in Green Bay. So what does it say to you when the questions were Adrian Peterson, Mike Wallace, this and that, and what happened was Ted Bridgewater took the conversation into his own hands and shifted it and said the guy the guy is Kyle Rudolph. He's bigger, he's back, he's better than ever. Do you think it was when Kyle Rudolph invited him down to South Carolina or South Carolina, California, where they really kind of bonded there, and which is going to be a big thing for the Vikings organization moving forward? Because Kyle Rudolph, if he can stay healthy, should be a massive target for Teddy Bridgewater over the middle.
That's what they want. That's what they expect. That's what we've seen from him. We've seen him go up and make the Gronkowski catches over the back in front of a guy, lifting a football out from in front of a defensive back who's in perfect position in the end zone to make the play. And they throw sort of a jump ball to Kyle Rudolph, and he reaches over with the big mitts and outreaches the D-back and hauls it in. That's what they want from that guy. That's why play like that before he got injured is what made them say, we've got to keep this kid. We've got to retain him and sign him to a new deal. And he deserves it. He's got a great attitude. I had a chance to speak with him quite a bit last season. Down at camp, had a chance to speak with him at a couple of charity functions here in town. He is a good kid, and he's a very talented guy. I mean, Christian Ponder was a good kid, but the football side of it didn't quite work out for Christian Ponder. I think that Kyle Rudolph is a good kid, but he's also a very good football player.
He just needs to stay healthy.
That's the bottom line. Bottom line, with anything out there, it boils down to health. Your team is only going to be as good as, you know, the number of your horses, your starters, your real players. How many of those guys can you take down the schedule and end up game 16 with predominantly all your players? I mean, that's one of those kinds of teams are the teams that win the most, are the guys that keep their players on the field somehow.
A couple of questions on the offensive line that I want to ask you. Brandon Fusco, who is now playing left guard, been the starting right guard for the Minnesota Vikings, has been moved to left guard for OTAs anyway. TJ Clemmings playing in the right guard spot. He said today he's happy to be healthy. He doesn't see the left guard move as a big change at all.
That's pretty big to say that. It is. I know some pretty good left guards who said, I don't want to go over there. Play the right side. Really good left guards. And he just didn't want to play the other side. He was so in tune with everything he did out of the stance at left guard. Randall McDaniels, who I'm speaking about, but he didn't want to play the right side. Hmm. Not that he wouldn't have if they asked him to, and please, can you? Because that's the only thing we got going on here.
Okay,
but he was so damn good at left guard. So don't change that.
If Fusco is going to play on the left side, he's going to play right next to Matt Khalil, who was talking about his recovery from surgery with the Pioneer Press today. He said he's the best he's felt since joining the Vikings. He's the heaviest and strongest he's been. He's 320 pounds now, which means he's gained 15 pounds. He was a little bit of a liability on the offensive line, obviously, last year when Teddy Bridgewater took over at quarterback. No more knee pain, he says. He's feeling good. A healthy Khalil certainly helping the Minnesota Vikings, probably, you know, one of the most important positions on the offense.
I thought he was, you know, I said this many times on the show last season as we went along with Khalil, is that he tried to come back. And sometimes these big offensive linemen think that what they're going to go do during an offseason is go back and lose some weight and get in really, really super good shape and lean down and just be lean and mean. And that's fine if you can do it right and if you can keep the weight on right. But if you go out and lose, and it looked to me like Matt Khalil lost a lot of weight, necessary weight to play left tackle. It looked to me like he lost about 10 or even maybe more, 10 or 12 pounds. And it looked like he was light out there and he was getting pushed around. You know, trying to take a pass set and having your anchor dug in and you're light, when you're used to stabbing and punching at about 315 pounds or whatever and feeling very, I mean, like you can just sit there all day, you're at your office. But when you're too light in the britches, I mean, people start pushing you around out there. And yeah, you say 305 pounds. I mean, that was it can be too light out there in this day and age. Too light. Left tackles are monsters, and they're gatekeepers.
You probably think he lost the weight, too, to keep the pressure off of his knees that
maybe
he was
so.
Having problems
maybe,
with
maybe
now
so.
That the knees are fixed and he's back up and he's strong and he added 15 pounds of muscle.
I love the fact that he's 320. I love the fact that he put that weight back on. I kept saying on this show, he needs to put some weight back on. He looks light in the ass. I'll tell you right now, here's an ass. Here's a real ass. Mike Berardino, he
wow.
comes out, yeah, That's what we're talking about. Mike Berardino. Who's this?
This isn't him. This is your other little pal.
Well, I thought I was going to have to rock and roll and get out of here because, man, I'm telling
you,
Jim Rich, I'm telling you.
Where are we going?
We're going to take a break. We've run out of time.
What?
Where are we going, he says.
I got so many great stories.
And that's why we called you early.
My news director wanted to talk to me. Let me see.
Hey, listen.
Mike Morris, news director. employment or beating? What do I want to take?
Or beating. Well, I we know what you took. How about, can you do a Mike's break for me at 5:42?
Sure. What do you want me to do?
Well, that's all I want you to do.
Well, we just want to talk to you so badly.
5:42, because you got the stories from Winter Park that we're looking for, and we got to go to Mike Berardino right now. Say yes.
Okay.
Say yes.
So what am I going to do?
We'll call you at 5:42.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yes.
Thanks.
See, that takes care of one of Mike's breaks right there. That's awesome. So we'll get Jim Rich a little bit later. He was tied up, everybody. And beaten down. I'm sure tied up and beaten down.
I think he's worried about the beat down from you.
I know that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's still coming anyway, regardless. Mike Berardino, a real squirrel, a real jackass. He's coming on with us next. So you can just get
ready.
We
told him we were going to be at the Twins game today, and we didn't show up
because he never shows up at the office. I'm going to invite him to the office tomorrow.
We'll see how he likes
it. I bet he won't be there.
No.
Okay, well, come on back. It'll be fun.
Passionate sports talk.
Joe Mauer is playing good baseball right now. He's very polarizing. You either love Joe Mauer or you don't. But Joe Mauer is playing good baseball right now. I know he's not a catcher. I know how much he's paid. But he's an important part of that Twins team.
On your sports station, 105 The Ticket.
Here for the Minnesota Twins today.
Time to oil up the mitts. It's Hardball with Mike Berardino.
A lot of information in their head here, so I'm willing to learn it.
Definitely excited to have him lead the way.
Get your seam head talk right now on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
And Hicks hits one high and deep to right field. And that will give the Twins a 3-run lead. 2-run shot, first home run of the year for Aaron Hicks. And Porcillo's troubles with the long ball continue here. The Twins now on top, 5-2.
It's on the leg kick. It's a new thing. We had Brandon Warren talk to us about the leg kick and the new development of that technique in baseball.
It's a massive leg kick.
Well, yes, and quite a bug stomp.
Boom!
We have Mike Berardino to explain the newfound swing of Aaron Hicks and the rest of this team, and I've already put Trevor Plouffe in as the most valuable player to this point. I don't know if I'm crazy or not, but it's close to it.
Well, there's a few guys you could talk about, but he's certainly in the mix.
Yeah.
And defensively, I mean, that's where he's just become so steady. Mm. Hit a two-error game maybe 2 weeks ago, and that's even hard to imagine at this point because it's highlight stuff.
I think he's done something different. Physically, he's changed himself completely. I think Plouffe, that is. And Aaron Hicks.
Plouffe
is.
It's because nobody's calling him Plouffe anymore.
Maybe that's it.
He actually feels like a real grown human being, man, baseball player guy.
May very well be. May very well be. But I you know, I also think that Dozier, but certainly Aaron Hicks now. I mean, that's kind of a story within itself. The first big dinger today, Mike.
Yeah, you go back to the one he hit off CC Sabathia, the last day of the first half way back in 2013. And he had just hit one since then. And that was at Tampa last year off Heath Bell, who's now out of baseball. So, there was nobody in the major leagues that Aaron Hicks was able to connect off of until today. And I don't think it's any accident that it was Rick Porcillo. And that it was a change up on the first pitch, which is the pitch that they've been getting him out with since he came back, because Corey Hunter played these past 2 years in Detroit with Rick Porcello, and he was well equipped to give a scouting report to everybody in that dugout on what the guy has. He's got every available pitch, but there are patterns within that, and I thought Aaron Hicks, it's up there on the video that we have at TwinCities.com. I talked to him for a while, like everybody else today, but he really described it well, what he was looking for and how the first time he was up, when he had a long at bat that ended up in a walk, plate appearance, that prepared him well for the home run.
Talking Twins baseball, Hardball every day with Mike Berardino, brought to you by Nature's Fury NutriDrink Vitamins. Never tasted this refreshing. I think we're burying the lead. The Twins tied for first place in the American League Central. Was it just mayhem after the game, or was it just another game for the players down in the clubhouse?
Well, you'd have to define mayhem. You know, once we're allowed in, they have levels on the smoke machine, on the fog machine. I'm told that there's a remote that goes with it.
Oh my God.
And they really do have a smoke and fog machine.
Oh, they do. They do. In fact, if you look at the Tory Hunter video that I put up there on TwinCities.com via Tout, you will see that he still has beads of condensation on his bald head based on that fog machine, which is pretty potent. I think there's at least two levels. Whatever the top level, I'll just tell you this today, whatever the top level on the fog machine is, the most fog that can be produced, that's what they got out of the machine today, because by the time we walked in there, it was like a hookah lounge. You went to a hookah lounge with Joaquin Phoenix. I had kind of a contact high, and I don't even know what's going on in there, but they better watch it.
They better watch it, or they may find out that it's some sort of medicinal industrial hemp.
Well, that's Tory's word every day now. He jokes about it. It's medicinal, you know. They got the drug testing going on after every game, so maybe that's what'll come out. The Twins are all just stoned out of their minds, and that's how they're playing so well.
Whatever they're doing, whatever they're doing, it works, and I want them to keep doing it. Mike Berardino, Pioneer Press, TwinCities.com. The superstar would like to ask you a question.
Uh-oh.
Are you going to be our guest at the office on Friday?
Well, let's back that up. Okay. I thought you guys were coming out today.
How'd that feel?
You didn't see me?
How'd it feel?
I never saw you.
Yeah.
Nobody came down to see me. I walked out of this park last night at 1:30 in the morning. I hustled back here in the morning. The thing that got me through that short turnaround was that we were finally going to all be in the same press box, just, you know, sharing popcorn and jokes.
Now you know how it feels when a good friend of yours lets you down.
It was really it was tough to get through the game. A lot of people will tell you that I was emotional and I couldn't focus. But I got about mid game. I just said they're not coming. They're not coming.
Well, I was trying to be difficult, to be honest. I was in the dugout. I was sitting with the team at the time, and I was down there. But I just you probably didn't see me though. I couldn't do it for a lot of reasons. I could not.
You were the one yelling out leg kick.
Exactly. Bug stomp. Yeah. Throw the bat, the handle of the bat at the ball, son. I know it works. I taught my kid that in Little League.
Bath salts.
Yeah, that's what I do.
I was yelling bath salts.
Jesus.
From the Bo Sox.
I like that.
How about David Ortiz? How about that series David Ortiz just had? You know, Twins fans been tormented by this guy since the minute they let him get away, and this was finally at a bad series. 1-for-12.
Ooh.
He got four balls out of the infield. All were to left field. The only hit was the one that Escobar should have caught. You guys could have caught that, but Esco slipped on the grass out there after the long rain delay. And it landed on the warning track for a double. He should have been 0-for-12. Just a terrible series. And he made a very big out there in the eighth inning as Michael Tonkin got him to tap to third to your guy Trevor Plouffe. And it was an easy out. And that was, you know, the traditional moment there is that Ortiz ties the game with a two-run homer. But did not happen.
I'm telling you, that's big out. Big out. And you know what? It is my guy, Plouffe. I mean, Ben's guy is, well, every guy. Mine is Plouffe. I mean, I've got it narrowed down to that.
Have you had him on?
We have not. No, but you could help us with that.
No, we can okay, go ahead, Berardino.
You don't think that'll happen? They won't make him available?
No, of course they will. I'll have to send Dustin an email. I can just make it happen. You want Trevor Plouffe on? Why don't you tell me? I'll just email Dustin. Dustin the guy from the thing.
Well, there you go. If someone could get Plouffe's
the demand. They are in high demand now. I hope you know that. All the Twins.
Yeah.
Tomorrow they're doing the Today Show and Regis.
I'm sure they are not. I had the confirmation for Aaron Hicks last Friday, but they were playing and they think between 4 and 7 they're getting ready for a stupid baseball game. I mean, it's like what?
Come on.
They're like, you can
be
talk to him at noon.
5 minutes, 10 minutes. Just put, get your bring Come your on. Phone down to the dugout and just talk to him.
It's not rocket science.
Yeah, I guess not.
Berardino, I love you to death. Oh, we got to go. You're way over here. You talk way too much. I know this is a talk show, but you're
I'm blaming Jim Rich for that. He messed up the formatics, I heard. But
he did.
Okay.
Yeah, he did.
I've done it myself.
He did. Yeah, I know you did, too. It's all right. Yeah. We love you. We're one big happy family here at Radioactive Sports, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. Enjoy your off day. We're still going to call you at 5:30.
Okay. Talk to you then.
All right, Michael. It's Mike Berardino. Becoming one of my favorite guys.
Nature's Fury Nutri-Drink vitamins never tasted this refreshing. Used to hate the guy.
Yeah.
Just despised him because he was the biggest prick of all time.
When
Tori Hunter said, "You're the prick, man," I thought, whoa, it's not just me who hates Mike Berardino. It's Tori Hunter, too. And
yeah.
But Mike Berardino, when you call him a prick, he loosens up. It's like he likes to be called a prick.
Well, I think he's just so used to it. I thought it was kind of funny how you said... made a statement, and he came back with, well, it just depends on what your definition of that is. I mean, he's just got a little, little twist.
He's such a pompous little douchebag, but I love him. He's our pompous little douchebag.
Yeah, so don't you guys call him that. We call him that.
Because we'll fight you.
Yeah.
We'll fight you over it.
We'll beat you up if you call Mike Berardino a pompous douchebag.
You know what we should do? We should just forget to call Jim Rich. Or we should call him with like 1 minute left to go, like he left us hanging last time.
All right. I'm all in on that. Jim Rich for part of the next break on Mike's Break. He said he would be there. Let's just see if he really is going to be there or not. If he's not, Pantera will be. Next.
Sports Radio 105 The Ticket. Here's Sports Radio 105 The Ticket on iHeartRadio. Radioactive sports in the afternoon on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
We are live!
Remember when I used to play that all the time?
I don't remember that at all.
No, stop it. You do too. I just
remember hearing someone say, and we're back, and we're live.
We are live!
You guys miss me?
Nope. We miss Jim Rich. I know you do. Who was it? Ted?
Live long and prosper.
Huh. That's the key in life. Live long and prosper.
Well, look who made it on time for once.
Yeah, Jim Rich. Doggone anyway.
I'm ready.
You want to tell everybody what you were talking about before we actually got on the radio and what you were saying about certain things? I don't even want to bring it up because I feel like PETA would come over to your studio right now and get you.
No,
regardless.
Do you want me to start bringing up your off-air conversations?
Sure.
What
are my off-air conversations?
I don't know.
I think I could probably share.
Mike, could you share one of those?
The one about Bob I was just talking about?
No, about...
What about Bob?
What about Bob? Great movie. Ooh, I think I'm going to have some more of that corn on the cob. I don't know, but you guys both off the air are just absolutely
filthy,
flarthing filth.
It's amazing that it doesn't spill over to the air.
It really is
remarkable, the talent that Ben and I possess.
I know it.
Keep all vulgarities to ourselves.
I'm fine. You know me.
You let him just come right across.
Well, he rips ass on the air. I know that he's bringing the microphone down to his midsection, I'm like, oh, God, we got to turn the music off.
Again. But other than ripping him, I'm an angel. I'm an angel. Okay. I'm just a farting angel is what I am. But hey, listen, what's going on? What is in the air down at Winter Park? I mean, have we now reached this point where Zimmer has pretty much told all of us in the media, we're not going to get rid of him. We're going to either play him or we're going to sit him. I mean, that's a statement. That was kind of a statement for the head coach to make that.
It was very impressive that he went there and that he basically drew the line in the sand and here's the end of the story. We're not going to cater to him. We're not going to worry about it. Really, he said, you know, as every coach does in a situation when a player is not present for whatever, a practice or OTAs or minicamp, or is a contract holdout, I'm only concerned about the players here. That's the answer we thought we were going to get. Instead, he said that, and then he took the next step and said that, really, there's not much to discuss here, gentlemen. Adrian has two options. Either he plays for us, puts on the equipment, or sits at home all year. It's up to him.
Wow. I mean,
that was my favorite part.
That's by far the most, you know, direct, straightforward answer we've had about this whole thing. It debunks any thought of trade this, trade that, what they've got going on behind the scenes. Chris Carter heard this, thinks that Adrian's going to go somewhere for sure, but he can't say anything. This pretty much puts that to rest, is that he knows exactly what's going on upstairs. Mike Zimmer does. And he came down and just flat out told all of us, everybody, he's either going to play here or he's not going to play at all. Period. Done deal.
Yep. And they may have tried to move him. You know, they may have tried at the draft to get a first round pick for him, but nobody came up, met the price. So now they've made their decision, and they can tell Dogra and Adrian that, look, we tried. Nobody wanted you. So this is where you have to play.
If
you don't want to play here, hey, that's your decision. But we tried. We put you out there. Nobody jumped up and paid the price, so you're stuck with us.
Jerry,
so come back here. Your equipment's in your locker. Let's go.
Jerry Jones said he'd be willing to give out a 2016 next year's first round draft pick for a player if it does finish the puts him over the top and makes a run at the Super. I think that Adrian Peterson. I think a team offered a first round draft pick for him. I think that they wanted more. And now that they don't want to trade Adrian Peterson, they've said this all along. There hasn't been any cross communication, or the Vikings have stood pat in everything that they've said. Now, we've talked about this a couple of times in the previous 9 months to a year with the whole Adrian Peterson indictment deal, saying if Adrian Peterson doesn't play and the Vikings don't get anything for him, it could be disastrous. Do you guys still feel the same way? Because I don't.
You mean if he sits?
Yeah.
No, it would be worse if they had cut him and he ends up signing and the Vikings get nothing. Still, the Vikings will get something out of this. Either they'll get number 28 on the field, or they will get the draft pick that they want for him that they feel he's worth. Because it's not just a one-year deal. Like, Adrian can't sit out this season and then be a free agent next year. Unfortunately for him, there's two more years after that.
No, but what happens if he retires and nobody gets anything? No Adrian Peterson playing?
Fine. That's fine.
Fine.
That's what you have to live with.
Because that's what you've nailed out, and he'll be, you know, vilified in this state and in Viking fans' minds across the country as one of the worst people that has ever played here.
That would be the case. That'd be the case.
He will.
I'm not kidding.
All that stuff he did
the
for
legacy's
years
gone
means nothing right now.
It would.
If he walks away on him.
And I mean, he'd be a fool to, in terms of his own personal wealth, anything that he's trying to do for himself to be able to maintain everything after football, that's gone too. I mean, because that's a lot of money you walk away from. And I mean, ask, you know, Sprewell, ask him what he would do again if they offered him $12 million now.
Bankrupt.
Latrell Sprewell. Yeah. But he's going to have to understand that he's going to have to play. And the Viking fans would be absolutely irate if he walked away from this thing. But the Vikings have it set up just that way. He doesn't play. He either plays for the Minnesota Vikings over the next 3 years. Well, it doesn't have to go 3 years, but certainly this year. And they can force him to continue to play right here because they have his rights. That's why they paid him the big upfront money. That's why you get upfront money, guaranteed money upfront when you sign a long-term deal, which Adrian did do. And they're not going to renegotiate numbers that are already incredibly huge numbers for any running back in this league.
They're not going to want him to play his second and third year under this regular contract. So it's such an interesting situation because basically the Vikings are looking at the here and now. Because what is he going to have to do to play through that next contract? Because if the feelings are this hurt right now, he's never going to renegotiate. Unless he gets more guaranteed money.
No, I think, and Star, you could see if you like this one. But if he comes back has a huge season.
Yeah.
And flies right.
Correct.
And there's no more issues. I could see Spielman telling him and Dogger at the end of this year, we'll redo a deal for you guys.
Yeah.
But you have to play this year under this deal or no dice.
Yeah, I think so. That's the position the Vikings have on Peterson, is they can force him really to go 1 year at a time. And you either prove that you deserve the next year, or we're tearing it up.
But that's a lot of trust. The Vikings organization is asking Adrian Peterson to trust them when there is no trust there anymore from Adrian Peterson's side because he thinks they screwed him.
It doesn't matter.
But they didn't.
I know they didn't, but that's what he thinks.
No, he can think of whatever he wants. He's going to have to put those pads back on and come out on the football field if he's going to make that kind of money again. If he has big numbers, if he does the usual Adrian thing, and doesn't get hurt seriously again, which is also the Adrian thing, is that they would. I'm with Jim on that. I think they would probably allow him then the next year with the last year on the contract. to be proved for. You have to prove you can earn that last year in any contract. Any player is looking down the barrel of a gun.
But you don't see Adrian Peterson with the Jared Allen situation, where in the last year of his contract, they ended up paying him, $17 or $18 million just so they wouldn't have to restructure, because he said he wasn't going to restructure and they wanted him on the team and they had cap room. You don't see that happening with Adrian Peterson and a 33-year-old running back at that. Was it $18 million, $19 million cap hit he's going to have?
By that time, it will be up there, though. It'll be up there. The next guys will have already re-upped a couple times, and that's where the market will be. If he has good seasons in between now and that last year in the contract, he will also get that contract. No question. If he proves that he's good for it, he'll absolutely make it, especially if he's, you know, knocking on the door of Emmitt Smith's, you know, rushing record. I mean, I wouldn't doubt it.
It's NFL teams and general managers do, though. I mean, so it's putting a lot of trust in your running back that's 30 years old. Of course he wants the guaranteed money. I'm not trying to take a side here, but I'm just saying there's a lack of communication, a lack of trust on both sides, so I can get where Adrian Peterson's coming from, even though I'm on the side of the Vikings in the front office down at Winter Park. That's all.
Well, you know, I mean, I can see if, like we said, if he plays this year, puts up MVP-type numbers again, I can see Spielman at the end of the year saying, all right, I'll throw in some guaranteed money. Let's do a 3-year deal. Bring your cap hit down for us, but we'll give you more guaranteed cash. You know, and then the two sides could say, all right, let's get back to normal. You're going to finish your career with us. You're going to go to the Hall of Fame, and hopefully we can figure out a way to get a Super Bowl. I mean, that's what the scenario has to be.
I think so, too.
Because if it doesn't, I mean, they'd be idiots to put money on the table right now.
You're right.
And Adrian, you backed yourself into this corner. You know, it's not our doing, and we can't put money on the table right now. You're just going to have to play. Tell everybody your agent gave you the wrong advice. Say, hey, I always wanted to be here, but my people were saying, hey, we can maybe get a different deal for you, or, you know, whatever. Pass the buck off to somebody else so he doesn't take the brunt of this, and just say, my family's my family, and I'm going to do what I have to do. I've satisfied the National Football League. I've satisfied the courts. And now, hopefully, I'm going to satisfy my teammates by rushing for 2,500 yards this year.
I agree with everything you said.
Well said, my man.
Well said, and as always, you're right. And I would not add a single thing to that statement. That's what he's going to have to do. But thank you very much for hanging on for us and coming back and rescheduling another 15 minutes down the programming day. So we'll talk to you tomorrow again, sir.
Again, my apologies to you guys. I know it runs like clockwork over there. You never deviate, and I apologize for making you veer off course.
No worries. You know what? That's
fine.
We feel back on track. We're back on track now for sure. Take care. We'll talk to you tomorrow, and say hi to the boys down at Winter Park. We have Chris Shad next, and he is he's one of the more controversial writers that we have here. He brings up stuff that is sort of, it bristles.
I like
Ben Holson and myself.
Does it?
We love to differ more often than not with Chris Shad.
Oh, God.
It's for a lot of reasons, too. The food, certainly that's part of it. Mostly it's the stuff that he talks about that we just get going. So you wouldn't want to miss that. We're going to argue with him again. Next.
Here's Sports Radio 105, The Ticket on iHeartRadio.
People ask what Omaha means. It's a run play, but it could be a pass play.
Omaha! 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 Hey, Montana, pass it! Omaha! really not my place to figure out what he's not saying publicly or saying publicly or what anybody else is saying. It's more about these guys that are out here. You know, Adrian, you know, he's really got two choices. He can either play for us or he can not play. So he's not going to play for anybody else, and that's just the way it's going to be.
His palms are sweaty, knees weak, arms are heavy. There's vomit on his sweater already. Mom's spaghetti, he's nervous, but on the surface...
You know, it can be a run or a pass.
But he keeps on forgetting what
we have a kind of a strange situation going on right now with the Adrian Peterson thing. We pretty much are sure it's going to have to be a run when talking about Adrian Peterson. And just the guy to talk to about that is Cold Omaha's Chris.